What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Daniel A. Nelson Podcast. This is the place where we play and talk about the music you love. I am excited today because I got my good friend, Michael Starr. Mike, say hello to my audience.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
All right, man. It's been a long time, brother.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So definitely. How many years we go back?
Oh, shoot.
At least
junior high school, right?
Man.
Yeah, at least junior high school. We're talking about...
35?
Yeah.
40?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, Jesus.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's good though, man. We've grown up.
Yes, sir.
We experienced some things.
Mm-hmm.
But today I'm here to talk about your career and some of the things you have done and what you're accomplishing now.
Gotcha.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Carson, California. Went to school at Abanding High. Hello.
Yeah.
We are pilots over here. So
Harder
anyway.
Than pilot.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, we're out of Carson. I've been in music since I could remember, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the thing was, in church, you know, it was almost like a prerequisite.
Right.
You
know,
you're there, so you're gonna be in the choir.
Yeah.
From day one, I'm sure my parents just knew that I had a gift, you know, so they put me in front, and you know, I was in leadership as long as I can remember, lead vocalist for a little small 4 and 5 person choir at Macedonia Baptist Church. Yeah, so from then, man, I kind of spread my wings, and my grandmother was instrumental in putting me in a position where I worked with a larger church.
Okay,
went over to Ward African Methodist Episcopal Church.
Yeah,
up in L.A. and. From being in the choir at Ward, kind of put me in a position to take on some leadership roles with the SECYC, which is that large conference choir,
right,
for the AME Church. Yeah,
man,
mm-hmm.
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. So let me ask you this: your first major gig outside of church, what was that?
Oh, what was the first gig? Had to be, well, after being with SECYC, one of the main directors,
uh-huh,
with SECYC was Russell Thomas Hill.
Okay.
And great musician out of Orange County. At any rate, his stepson was Brent Jones.
Okay.
So once I hooked up with Brent Jones, the sky was the limit, man. We did a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
All right.
I think the first major situation was Don't Get God Started, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So the connection with you and Brent really kind of started this.
Yes.
All right.
Started the professional side of my career.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're also a recording artist, too. We'll talk about that a little later on. But do you dabble a little bit on keys and stuff like that?
Man, I messed up. Because when I was a kid, they had parents had me in piano.
Yeah.
And so it was piano and then baseball for me.
Okay.
And I love music, but when it came to piano, it was something that I did because I was forced to do it. I always wanted to sing. I didn't want to play. But if I knew what I know today,
right,
I would have stuck with it. And man, yeah. But God knows what to do.
Right, exactly.
Because
exactly.
I'm telling you, Dan, if with the talent that He's given me vocally, and if I could go in and play any kind of keyboard, I'd be a monster. So maybe He knew what to do, right?
He knew what to do. Yeah. So check this out. Now I know you've done some work with different artists,
mm-hmm,
but before we go there, I want to ask you about this. There's a lot of music that's out nowadays, and mm-hmm, you know, I know the times have changed the way different beats, and we got the sequencer, and
mm-hmm,
the way things are done.
Right.
Things are recorded differently.
Absolutely.
And I know we're trying to accomplish the same goal, which is get the music out there,
mm-hmm,
and hopefully people appreciate the hard work we put in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, of course, Mike, we're old school people, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we like that old... Whether it's gospel, the old James Cleveland, the Walter Hawkins. As a matter of fact, I was just vibing on them the other day.
Okay.
Edwin Hawkins and, you know, mm-hmm, Andre Crouch. I was vibing on that old school music. And that stuff is like 30, 40 years old.
Right. Right.
So that leads me to this question. What, in your opinion, makes a great hit? I hate to use the word hit as far as with gospel, but even the secular. You know, you list the Frankie Beverly Mays, I mean, Joy and Pain. Mm-hmm. My band plays that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly.
Been So Long. I mean, Anita.
Mm-hmm.
What makes a great hit?
Wow. That's a challenging question, though, because there are so many variables when it comes to what makes the tune, man.
Okay.
Some of the songs that just stick in the back of my mind are songs that people really don't even consider hits. LTD did a song back in, oh God, that had to be the late 70s, or maybe early 80s.
Yeah.
It was on the same album with Love Battered, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
But the name of the tune was April Love.
Ah.
And they played it on a couple of the channels, but it didn't get the kind of airplay. I thought that was a hit.
Okay.
In my mind, that was a hit because basically when the song speaks to you.
Right.
When you can relate to a song.
Yeah.
That's what makes a hit, really, relatability. And then I'll tell you another thing that really makes a song. If your audience or your listening audience can, number one, relate to it,
yeah,
and can kind of sing it. You know, anytime you go to a concert and a band stands up and plays Joy and Pain, for example,
yeah,
the crowd is already singing.
Right.
So that's a hit.
Yeah.
That's what you call a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to something that you grind,
yeah,
put out, and it never really goes anywhere.
Okay.
But you go, it might sell a million copies, the album might, but that's not necessarily a hit, as it were.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your process, your writing process?
Basically, I'll take something that, for instance, Terrence Thomas and I used to get together and do things, and he'll give me a piece, and he'll go, man, I don't do lyrics. You know, you got to do the lyrics.
Right.
So I'll sit there, and he'll give me an idea as to what he might have wanted to do with it, and man, I'll sit there and meditate on it, and I'll let the song get me involved.
Right.
And then I'll just go from the top of my head, man, and do feeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you write a title out first and then you start writing the content?
No, sir.
Okay.
I'll put the basic song together prior to even trying to put a name to it, because after you get the base of your song, once you get your hook, nine times out of ten you'll come up with something.
Yeah. You know what, and I, of course, you know, I went to Long Beach City College.
Right.
And music production and songwriting, that's the main thing they talked about. They talked about a hook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people, what is a hook? What is a hook? Basically, it just hooks you in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
The Michael Jackson. Rock with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the constant thing. All night.
That's just the constant thing. That's the thing
that gets the
audience hooked.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's hence the word.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, y'all, excuse the helicopter. Then my son, he's practicing. We're at the studio. And we're just kicking back in the backyard. We didn't go out to the regular recording place. So if you hear this on the podcast, don't worry about that. All right, but we're still enjoying ourselves. But let me ask you this question. You got a chance to work with the Lions.
Yes, sir.
How did you get that call, man?
Well, here we go again. We're in. We're backstage doing Don't Get God Started.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. The producer of that particular play happened to be Kim Fields' father.
Wow.
Oh, God, his name forgets me right now. God, what's the guy's name? At any rate,
yeah,
it's Kim Fields' dad.
Right, yeah.
He produced Don't Get God Started. So in that production, there was Carvin Winans and Ronald Winans that were involved in the production, along with Vanessa Bell Armstrong. So with those names, we did the play, and we did the work we were supposed to do. And the guys, what they did was they picked out four or five of us. We were with Brent Jones and friends. So they picked out four or five people and said,
yeah,
look, we want y'all to work with us. And
wow.
So we went in studio with the Winans about about 2 weeks after production was over for the play. And one thing led to another.
Man, that's cool. And then you got a chance to work with a couple other artists. Did you work with the OJs at one time?
Yes, sir.
How did you get that one?
Through we were working with one of the producers, play. Picked us up to do the NBC sitcom Amen with Sherman Hemsley.
Mm-hmm.
So we were involved with that after working with the Winans for a minute.
Yeah.
And we went and did the pilot. So we needed the opening music.
Yeah.
Shine down your light from heaven, Lord. Yeah. Shine on me.
Yeah, right.
wonderful piece of music. That was produced by a guy named Harold Johnson.
Okay. Did Andre Crouch work on that one too?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Andre was on that with part of his choir, actually.
Yeah.
So you had a couple of Winans, you had Andre Crouch, you had Brent Jones and his friends.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm talking about... those were musicians,
right,
buddy. So, yeah, we had a good time doing that. Out of that, the girl that was the... that was in charge of... bringing that together.
Uh-huh.
She also worked with the OJs. So she called in Eddie and Walter to do something on set. And me and Eddie hit it off. We were doing something. Brent likes to sit on the piano and play,
right,
and was messing around. So Eddie heard what we were doing. So Eddie called on Brent and I to come and put a few people together, and we did "Emotionally Yours," the video OJs rather.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and
that's cool.
From that, things just kept building, and yeah.
Yeah, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how God puts a certain anointing on people, and we have no reason to be jealous or envy.
Right.
We should appreciate the gifts that God gives the people.
Exactly.
Because when you do that, I mean, you know, I hate to say it like this, I don't want to sound morbid, but there will never be another you.
Right.
So if we don't appreciate what you're doing,
mm-hmm,
you know, and we're envious of it, mm-hmm, once you're gone, man, that's it. Ain't no more Michael Starr.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I always thank God for people like yourself and different people around me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know we've ran into some musicians. This is my good podcast, so we ain't gonna land blast anybody.
Right.
But there are some musicians that can rub you kind of wrong, or
absolutely.
Sort of like what what Bishop said. He said, your gift will get you in,
mm-hmm,
but it's your character that keeps you.
That part. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. Because I know and we're not going to land blast anybody, but just
talk a little bit
about, you know,
how
that works.
You do have people in the business and in the industry that will rub you the wrong way.
Right.
And I used to be kind of floored by...
Coffee, y'all.
Right. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But I used to be floored by different people that come out and go, well, I'm the... this is going to be the next... Luther Vandross, so this is going to be the next Stevie Wonder, you know.
Right.
And the way I live my life,
yeah,
you know, God bless Stevie with what He blessed Stevie
man,
with,
yeah,
and that's Stevie's gift.
And I love him too, man.
It don't make no sense for me to sit up here and say I want to be the next Stevie Wonder, because that's not possible.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, what I had to teach myself and what I had to pray for God to do for me, and He did it. He allowed me to concentrate on being the best Michael Starr that I could be.
Exactly.
And believe me now, I've had people come to me after doing shows. I did a show with Terrence out in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Terrence Thomas, a wonderful
right,
keyboard player,
yeah,
bass guitar player, lead guitar player, man. Hell of a guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he took me to a lot of places where I thought I'd never go.
Right.
But we were doing a gig one night, and I did a cover of Superstar.
Okay.
So after the gig, man, this guy comes to me. And he goes, man, I'm a producer, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And I was listening to what you were doing, and he said, man, the rendition of Superstar that you did tonight, he said, you blew it out of the water. And he said, you're the next Luther Vandross. And I had to stop him. I said, no.
Right.
What you're not going to do is put me there,
yeah,
because, you know, respect. Luther has my total respect.
Yeah.
There will never be another Luther Vandross.
Right.
I said, just understand that I put on that song what Michael Starr felt.
Exactly, yeah.
And I appreciate what you said.
Yeah.
But what I want you to remember is that was Michael Starr's cover of a Luther Vandross tune.
Right.
If you enjoyed it, say I enjoyed it. Yeah. Don't tell me I'm going to be the next Luther. Because who knows? I mean, I may surpass what Luther did.
Right, as far as financially or the audience.
Yeah.
And you know what? And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to understand that because, well, of course, you've been knowing me for a while, Mike, and you know how much I love the Joe Sample and,
yes.
you know, the
yes.
George Duke. I mean, I do what I can to emulate them, but I can't be them.
Exactly.
You know, I got a chance to meet Mr. Myron McKinley, he's the MD for Earth, Wind & Fire.
Okay.
And, I mean, the guy's phenomenal. Cool person.
Yeah.
You know, I love people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what you was saying, Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know how much I love Stevie. Man,
absolutely.
I try to play every song.
I know what you mean.
But the thing is, though, I have to be me. And that's why I really appreciate what God has blessed us all with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I mentioned this about appreciating the gift. And I can see that you've done that. But work with the Winers and different people. Because you did work with Stevie Wonder, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Oh, God, I forgot what that was about. But we did First AME, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I worked with Stevie at First AME.
Okay.
Yeah. It's cool. Never really got to go one-on-one with him, which I really would have loved. But, you know, I mean, just being involved was enough for me.
Yeah.
The name came back to me. Kim Field's father, Barry Hankerson.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Pretty well-known producer.
Yeah,
well-known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you have wrote a, I'm about to say album, Lord Jesus, I know we don't do albums. CD.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, we do CDs. No, we do MP3s now.
Now we do MP3s, yeah.
Okay, whatever.
CDs are absolute. But,
right, yeah. Well, you did, I'm going to go old school. You did an album now.
Yeah.
Tell me about that writing process.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Some people say, you know, I can write a song and such and such. And some people say, well, it takes a few months. Some people say, what is your concept of it?
Oh, my God. We put that project out. It might have been, I'm pretty sure it was right around 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
We put that project out. And I mean, that means from writing to production to recording to, I went to the online process to distribute it. So, great piece of work.
Yeah.
Title track on that was, oh my God. What was the title track to the first album? I want to say Walking Church. Had to be Eric, a good friend of mine, Eric from Central.
Yeah.
Wrote Walking Church for me.
Okay.
Put it together, and we have fun with it. But then I had Theo Gearing do a song on the album.
Okay.
I did three gospel covers. Then I had Terrence Thomas and Tamron Walker do a tune for me.
Yeah.
Greg Walker wrote a song for me on that particular album.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I say though, I'm just excited because, you know, we go a long ways and we got some things coming up. Is there anybody else you want to speak of? Because I know you work with a lot of people. Now, I don't, look, we're not here to name drop or anything like that.
Right.
But we're talking about how God has blessed us to open up, you know, he opened up doors for us.
Absolutely.
To work with different people.
Absolutely.
And it's just a life experience. That's all.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think when sometimes people do name droppings, you can kind of tell that they're trying to do that.
Yes.
But we're just talking about, you know, the good Lord is making a way, and you work with different people because you work with Charlie Wilson too, right?
Charlie Wilson. That was through working with. We were in the studio one night with Melrose and Gower.
Okay.
The studio right at Melrose and Gower,
yeah.
And I believe we were doing something with the Gap Band at the time.
Yeah.
Again, through working with the Winers. We got put in a position to do that through working with the Winers. A cat named Charles Smith was was the executive producer for the OJs, the Gap Band at the time.
Okay.
So through working with them, great band. They had an absolutely great band.
Yeah.
Those guys were special. So we did that, came out of there, and got a chance to do a little work with Karen White and Chucky Booker through working with Terrence.
Chucky's cold.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, look, I hope you follow this podcast, Chucky, but we're going to post this up. Brother, you're a bad brother. I never met you personally, but I know a friend of mine who works with you, Boy Russ. Anyway, bro, I love to meet you, man. That boy is cold.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Chucky and Terrence were in a group together. Yeah, so
that's thunder and lightning, right?
Absolutely. So, that was another connection that I had. Then, of course, my number one dude, man, Greg Walker.
Yeah,
does the lead vocal on Black Magic Woman.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. My goodness, that's cool. Yeah. Now, look, I'm gonna segue into this because I know we. I don't want to take up all your time, and I know my podcast usually is about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But you got some interesting things coming up really soon. Tell me what you're working on right now.
Well, at this point, just doing. I'm really kind of trying to make my way out of doing a regular thing with the
corporate.
trying to get out of. Yeah. I didn't want to say it that way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get out of corporate America,
right,
and get into being self-employed.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. So looking forward to doing some things with this cat I grew up with. Man, he's awesome musician. Always wanted to work with him one-on-one to do some things because I know he got talent. Man, cat named Daniel Nelson. I don't know if you met him. But we're gonna
hook up and do some things, man. Because it's like I said, man, the gift that God has blessed us with, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I want the whole world to hear what we got going.
But
if He blesses for only 3,000 hearers, I'm grateful.
So
we're gonna put some stuff together.
Yes, sir.
And I would say we're gonna put something on wax, but they don't use wax anymore.
We're gonna
do it.
We're gonna make some music.
Yeah, we're gonna make some music.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting, man, because I've run across some great people in my life,
mm-hmm.
and we've hooked up with some great people. And the thing is, always counted a blessing to come back full circle,
right,
to work something out with people that you love and you respect.
Exactly.
And you're a brother that I love and respect.
Yes, sir.
Because I mean, we've done some things at that Carson Civic Center.
Oh yeah.
I mean, man. And at that time, we were younger, but we still packed it out. We had 1,000 people.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's exciting to us.
But like you said, man, it all goes back full circle. It all goes back to what we did, man. We always loved the Lord.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yes.
We always respected our parents. Number two.
Right.
We always gave the service to our church. Wherever we were involved with that church, we gave service there.
Yes.
So what happens is God makes room for your gift.
Yeah.
And I had to remind myself constantly to be patient.
Right.
Just be patient.
Right.
I'm going, okay, God, well, I've been waiting since 1970 some odd, you said you was going to bless me financially through my gift. And, yes, He's taken me places. I've been places.
Right.
I've done things. I've been with others. But when you go to my home and you go to, let's just say, Gerald LaVert's home.
Right.
It's day and night.
Right.
So I'm going, okay, God, you blessed him. Where's mine? But what I found out, and Marvin Winans told me this. He said, when you see someone else getting blessed, you don't ask God, I thought I would have had mine by now. Or you promise. What you're supposed to do in that instance is start praising him because I know mine is coming.
Yeah.
If he did it for them, I know mine is coming.
Right.
So that's what separates us
from
your average your average artist out here.
And the good Lord has blessed us to live some good lives thus far.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this, and then we'll close it out. What advice could you give to young musicians? Because I noticed this. I'm grateful for the YouTube. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for all that TikTok and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's a means of social media and you know, communication. Mm-hmm. But some people don't realize the struggle, and I'm grateful that it is a better way. Mm-hmm. But what advice can you give to some young musicians or even older musicians? Because sometimes they want to be here, per se.
Right.
But they're not grateful for the things that's happening. Because, you know, the reality is, I play almost every weekend.
There you go.
I'm playing almost every weekend.
That's my thing.
And both bands are paying me pretty well.
That's my thing. My biggest piece of advice to anyone, man, especially in this industry. Number one, you got to have patience. You got to be patient. You got to be patient, man, because you can't take step number one and then be ready for step 55, step 100.
right, yeah.
It doesn't work that way, yeah. Man. You gotta put your work in.
Yeah.
Be true to your craft. Be the best you can be. You know, yeah. I understand emulating. I get that.
Right.
But be the best you can be. I heard Les Brown say it, because I'm a stickler for that, man.
Yeah.
I listen to motivational speeches day in and day out, because you got to keep yourself motivated.
Right.
You know, of course, you get in your scripture and you pray.
Yeah.
But then you want to bombard your mind with positive thoughts, positive affirmations on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I heard Les Brown say it. That was over 15, 20 years ago, but it sticks with me. He says, if you're involved in doing anything, he said he would expect for you to read at least one book a month.
Yeah.
Involve yourself. Know what's going on in your industry. Know what's going on and what you want to be involved with.
Yeah.
Learn it. Do the best you can. And that's one of the main things. Read books. Watch videos. You know.
Yeah.
You know. Hone your craft.
Yeah.
That's what I'll tell anybody out there. Hone your craft.
That's good advice. Because I've as a matter of fact, I read Les Brown's latest book. I guess it's the latest book. Stay Hungry.
You got to be hungry.
Man.
You got to be hungry.
That's inspiration.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
I started this podcast. I'll make it short, but I started this podcast about 2 years ago, right before, COVID was just really, you know, picking up speed, for a better lack of words. Mm-hmm. But, and I've been wanting to do a podcast before the COVID.
Okay.
But this kind of forced me. It's like, okay, now what can I do? Mm-hmm. Everything's starting to shut down. Mm-hmm. What can I do?
Yeah, let me stay busy. Yeah.
And seriously, it's like, you know what? You said you've been wanting to do this, but I didn't know how to even approach it. Because mm-hmm. it's like, well, you know, what's the wording? I said, yeah, I'm just going to step out and start doing this.
Yeah.
Because I got a bunch of friends that's in the entertainment business mm-hmm. and also just know the background of business and music.
Right. Right.
Let me talk to these guys and let the world know what they're thinking.
Absolutely.
And that's why I appreciate you, man, because I can't be you, mm-hmm. but the things that you've done and just spoken on this podcast, man, mm-hmm. will hopefully enlighten a lot of people.
Absolutely.
About even working with different people, mm-hmm. because, you know, working with the Gap Band, their process is different from the OJs.
Yes.
But you were able to adjust yourself mm-hmm. to make that thing work.
Absolutely.
You know, so, man, I appreciate you, Mike, for just giving that advice. Staying patient.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. hone your craft.
Mm-hmm.
Reading some books, especially something that, you, man, yeah. that's yeah. those are three powerful things that should sustain us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mike, I want to thank you, man, for just coming on my show.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. And we will be working together real soon, man.
Oh, yeah.
Blessings to you, bro.
All right now.